Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. All your garments spotless are they white, as snow are you washed in the blood. I sing the chorus now. Are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. All your garments spotless are they white, as snow are you washed. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. I'm glad I'm saved, saved, saved. Amen. When I step off the ramp of the old ship of Zion, and I sink my toes in the sands of time, on Jordan's bright shore, I'll see friends and loved ones who have made the same journey to heaven's fair clime. Now, as the saints are arriving to behold the great splendor, they are met with a strange and most welcoming breeze, with the fair, lovely fragrance of the fruits of our labor and eternal blossoms of the flowers and trees. I will sing hallelujah, heaven's all that I've longed for. He is who he said, and I am one of his own. I will see and I'll smell, oh, and I'll hear and I'll taste, oh, and when I see the Savior, I kneel at his throne, and that's when heavenly choir I shall most gladly join in that eternal refrain, singing glory to God, for he spared not his son. Oh, worthy, most worthy, the Lamb who was slain. Heaven's all that I've longed for. He is who he said, and I am one of his own. And I'll sing and I'll smell, oh, and then I'll hear.
is all that I've longed for. He is who he said, and I am one of his all. Oh, and I'll sing, and I'll smell.
That to look forward to. If you're not saved today, we'd like to introduce you to this Jesus.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Adam and Eve brought sin. We suffer. We die and go to hell because of the sin that was committed.
Amen.
Outside of our control. We had no hope in our control. Nothing we could do, nothing that we could do to gain salvation.
Amen. That's right.
And a Savior came from heaven.
Amen.
In mercy, shed his blood on a cross so that we might receive a free gift. It's just like me handed a $100 bill right here, and I said, it's free. You just got to get up here and come here and take it. Every one of you be running here to get a $100 bill. We're offering you something today better than a $100 bill.
Amen.
Eternity in heaven. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
It's a free gift for you today.
Amen.
We want, hey, and I'm glad he saves old sinners.
Amen.
I'm glad he saves young sinners. I'm glad it doesn't matter the color of your skin or your age or your financial status. There's nothing we can do except accept him.
Hallelujah.
Sing it, Brother John.
Sinner could be. Hey, don't let this, if you're a guest here today, don't let it scare you. I got to tell you, I didn't have time really yesterday. I stayed on the road and didn't have time to do much of anything. But I got to tell you, I did take about 5 minutes. I turned on the TV and there was Alabama playing Florida. And man, I tell you what, they had it in a little inflatable pig skin that they were chasing all over this green pasture. And every time somebody touched it or threw it or dropped it, people got up and shouted and screamed and hollered. So if we get a little happy about the Lord, it's okay. Amen. Turn to your Bibles to Psalm, the book of Psalm, chapter 90, please. Y'all bear with me. I'm excited. I appreciate the song service and the way the Lord has moved here already this morning. Amen. I am. But the Lord gave me a message a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I've put it back because it just wasn't God's timing in preaching the message. But I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart that this morning I have the message from heaven. It's not complicated. It may not be what you're expecting, but I believe with all my heart the message that's going to be preached this morning could transform us individually and collectively. I believe it could absolutely transform our lives. I'm convinced of it. I'm so excited. I can't stand it. I was so excited today. Listen, I'm not bragging. I walked through the door, and I could not wait until offering time, brother. God gave me an opportunity to tithe. I didn't hang on to it. I didn't spend it on Christmas. I gave God what was His, and I was so excited about that. And I mean, you say, well, that's stupid. No, I'm telling you, I get excited when the offering plate is passed. I really get excited about it. But as excited as I get about being able to tithe and having the privilege to be obedient in that area of my life, I'm telling you that, ladies and gentlemen, there is an attribute that God wants for our Christian walk that will change and transform us. Now you say, well, what is it? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to share some things with you, and then I'm going to tell you. You know, I really enjoy when science catches up to God's Word. I don't need science to help me determine whether or not God's Word is true or not. God's Word is true even when the science doesn't back up God's Word. It doesn't matter. I love it when science finally catches up to the Word of God. And I want to share with you scientific studies that have been done on a particular, and there's others, but this one particular biblical attribute. I want to share this study with you, and then I want you to see what God's Word says, and it covers almost everything that these multiple scientific studies show, and listen to this. It tells it in one word. One word. It takes millions of dollars, hundreds of scientists, thousands of participants, and they finally figure it out that God's Word had it right all the time. Man, the taxpayers' money, we could save these people. Okay. This attribute that is so important that, frankly, me included, dismiss, neglect, on the occasion, exercise this attribute that God wants us to build upon that is backed up or caught up by scientific studies is this. I'm not going to tell you. But this biblical attribute will actually help your personality. Personality. I'm going to run through this, then I'm going to give it to you, and then we're going home. Is that fair enough? Now, I'm not saying we'll be done in 20 minutes, but you're not going to want me to be done in 20 minutes. It's going to be that good. Now, this attribute in our personality, this attribute makes us more optimistic. This attribute is strongly correlated with optimism. Optimism, in turn, makes us happier, improves our health, and has been shown to increase lifespans by as much as a few years. This attribute reduces materialism. Materialism is strongly correlated with reduced well-being and increased rates of mental disorder. Did you hear that? Materialism is directly correlated with mental disorders. Now, this biblical attribute also increases spiritualism. One of the participants of this study said this. Now you listen to this. This attribute spontaneously gives rise to spiritual attribution, helping one to feel closer to God or other religions or entities. And this is what he said. I am irreligious and have found the practice of this attribute, this biblical attribute, to make my spiritual position difficult. This biblical attribute, Christian, that we need to grow in, a lost man said when he practiced it, He lost ground on not believing in a Lord and Savior. This is powerful stuff. This attribute makes us less self-centered. This attribute makes us less self-centered. Now, I want to say that, well, I'll just say, there was a participant, another participant in this study. He said, I'll be totally honest. I am a self-centered. Now, I'm a lot better now that I've brought this biblical attribute into my life. But I do spend too much time thinking of myself, too little time thinking of others. I expect this change because of the practice of this attribute. I am starting to have spontaneous urges to help others. Now, let's keep going. This attribute increases self-esteem. My goodness gracious, years ago, I was an administrator of a Christian school, and I was sitting in my office one day, and this lady came into my office, and she was pounding on my desk because some teacher hurt her little boy's self-esteem. That test is too hard, she said. It's too hard, and we worked so hard to get little Billy's self-esteem to raise up to where it is today, and this teacher is crushing his self-esteem. That won't make you want to get sick to your stomach. But anyway, it actually increases one's self-esteem. Can you imagine? No matter what your position, no matter what your circumstances in life, your view of yourself cannot be diminished. And listen, this is what it comes down to. When we instill this attribute, we realize something, that our concern should not be how we are seen by ourselves or others, but only how God sees us and what He thinks of us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is all found within these studies. There's another element. Yes, this attribute helps our personalities. This attribute helps our health. This attribute improves sleep patterns. Increases sleep quality, reduces the time required to fall asleep, and increases sleep duration. This attribute keeps you away from the doctor. Amen? Doesn't mean we'll never be sick, but it's saying it. Studies have shown it improves this area. It can improve your health. It can improve your mind. Conclusions have come from 137 research studies. This attribute promotes faster recovery from certain medical procedures, positive changes in the immune system functioning, and more positive health behavior. In fact, some recent science shows that those who develop this biblical attribute have shown to feel less pain, go to the doctors less often, have lower blood pressure, and be less likely to develop mental disorders. They also said by practicing this biblical attribute that there's a 35% reduction in depression. Now, guys, just hang on with me. I can't help it. This is an attribute that is obtainable by every person in this room. I got to tell you, if I wanted a Mercedes-Benz, I can't attain that. It's not within my being. I'm not capable. I can't go out and buy a 5-bedroom house with 5 bathrooms and 10,000 square feet and a 20-car. I can't do that. And most of you in here probably can't do that. But we can obtain this attribute. Now, we're talking about health. This attribute may help you live longer. This attribute increases your energy levels. This attribute makes you more likely to exercise. Do you know that? This attribute, they did a small study, not large enough to be called scientific. They only used 96 people over a 2-month period, and the ones that practiced this attribute ended up exercising 40 minutes per week more than others. 40 minutes more per week. So we've got the health. We've got the personality covered here. And now I want us to look at what this attribute, this biblical attribute, does for us emotionally. this attribute helps us to bounce back, the studies are showing. Those that develop this biblical practice are more likely to grow in times of stress. In other words, those that practice this attribute are more resilient. Have you ever seen somebody go through something and it just causes their world to crash in around them? And then you see somebody else go through something similar or something just like the first person I mentioned, and it just seems like they go through it, and people, well, how did they do that? What a resilient person. Well, they're saying that this biblical attribute makes us more resilient. This attribute makes us feel good. We all like to feel good. Amen? I'm not saying we should feel good all the time. We have feel-good religion, and you turn on TV, and they're supposed to make it feel-good TV programs, and man, a lot. I'm not saying we should feel good to the extent of being spiritually shallow. That's not what I'm referring to. But according to a researcher named Robert Emus, this attribute doesn't just make us happier. Now, you listen to this, because I'm going to come back to this in a little bit. This attribute does not make us happier. He said this, it is happiness. What an attribute. That somebody that says this biblical attribute is happiness. And I can prove it by the Word of God in one word, just a minute. This attribute reduces feelings of envy. Y'all ever envy? Nah, of course not. This attribute helps us to relax. Did you hear that? The researchers are saying this attribute, and this is a quote, is the strongest relaxant known to man. Right now, Missy's in the hospital. They induced labor. And maybe I need to call her up and tell her this. Relax, honey. So we see it, the health, the emotional, the personality. We see that this attribute improves all those areas. Don't you want to know what it is? I ain't going to tell you. Not only does it help us emotionally, it helps us socially. One biblical attribute, folks. One biblical attribute that is going to be practiced in 5 minutes can do this for us. So socially, this attribute makes you friendlier. This attribute, multiple studies have shown that this attribute induces pro-social behavior and makes you more likely to help others with their problems and makes you more likely to offer them emotional support. Did you hear that? This biblical attribute will help your marriage. You say, well, how's that? Mine's a train wreck. I don't know. I can tell you this, that whether a marriage ends because of black sin or just petty selfishness, it all begins with the lack of this biblical attribute. You ready? So it'll help your marriage. This attribute, oh man, you'll like this one. This biblical attribute makes you look good. Man, I need this one. I need to bathe in this one, amen. Man, it makes you look good. You say, what do you mean? They said that this attribute, that the development of this attribute will cause people to respect you. I tell you something, that's something else. In other words, it makes you look good, not pretty, in the eyes of those around you. This attribute helps you make friends. Then this biblical attribute also helps you to create deeper, balanced friendships. Isn't that wonderful? One attribute. I mentioned almost every element of our lives except, I think, two. And listen, this can be more secular, but this attribute will help you with your career. That's right. A biblical attribute that does all this. What? I'm sorry. I mean, this thing got a hold of me, and it like tore me up. I couldn't wait to get up here and tell y'all this today. This one biblical attribute can change your career. It can make, well, this attribute makes you a more effective manager. This attribute helps you to network. Two extensive studies showed that those with higher levels of this biblical attribute actually develop more social capital than those with lower levels of this attribute. That's impressive. Now, don't you want to know what this attribute is? I do too. Okay. Listen, this attribute increases your goal achievement. It increases your goal achievement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is quite an attribute. They did a study over a two-month period, which they cannot refer to as scientific. And they said that the people that instituted and practiced this biblical attribute or grew this attribute into their lives, that they excelled in what they were trying to do in achieving their goals. This attribute, I love this one. This attribute improves your decision making. I don't know about you. I need that. Amen. I look back and see dozens and dozens of bad decisions. And I don't like making bad decisions. Every decision I make, I want it to be good. I want it to be good for me. I want it to be good for all those around me, especially my family. I want to make good decisions. And this biblical attribute, by taking it on and weaving it into our lives, makes us make better decisions. I was reading this study. One particular study showed that doctors that exercise this biblical attribute into their lives actually make better, you ready for this, medical decisions. Did you hear me? Doctors that integrate this attribute into their lives and grow this thing make better medical decisions. That's powerful. Folks, I'm talking about one attribute, and when I tell you, you're going to think I've overblown it. But this is scientific studies that I'm sharing with you, so it is not overblown. Now I'm going to God's Word. I told you to turn over to Psalm chapter 90. I lied because I didn't want you reading my text and figuring this thing out. Turn over to Psalm chapter 92. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. How good is it? It changes. It improves your personality. How good is it? It changes you socially. How good is it? It improves your health. How good is it? It improves your career. How good is it? It improves you emotionally. You say, well, is that it? No, no, no. It improves us spiritually. Now, I'm going right back to the little word. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. I'm about to share with you, there's a Hebrew word that makes up this word good in chapter 92 right here. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, here's the different meanings of that word good. You ready? And it backs up everything that this study says. One word. Listen to this. I'm sorry. I love this. I love it that God's Word is so straight and so right. I love it. and that it is obtainable for us to tap into its instruction and change our lives. Listen, are you ready for this? Is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord? Let's look at good. It is a beneficial thing. Now, this is the meaning of the Hebrew word that makes up this word good. It's a beneficial. It is a beneficial thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Listen to this. It is the best thing. Did you hear that? It's not just good. It's not just beneficial. It's the best thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Hey, it is a merry thing. Hey, what you're talking about, the emotional? You remember? Make your heart merry, man. Give thanks unto God. You down in the dumps, give thanks unto God. You depressed, give thanks unto God. It says it's a merry thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It says also it's a fair thing. It's fair. It's fair. No matter how good or how bad, God's not going to shortchange us. It's a fair thing. It's okay. He says he won't put more on us than we can bear. He's fair. So when we give our thanks to him, it's good, fair. Amen. Hey, not only is it fair. Now, you ready for this? Remember I said it'll help your job? Listen to this. It is a prosperity thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Hey, I'm not making this stuff up. This comes straight out of the Word of God. Hey, it is not just a prosperity thing to give thanks unto the Lord, but God says it is a precious thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Not only, remember a while ago, I talked to you about the study that the researcher said that he said this, I'm blown away. He said not only does this thing of giving thanks lead to happiness, he said, a lost man said it, it is happiness. So let's go to what the Word of God says. Let's look at the other word that means good in Hebrew. It says, it is a happiness thing to give thanks unto the Lord. God's Word backed up what this crazy scientist said. God's Word is the authority, ladies and gentlemen. You know what else it says? It is a pleasant thing to give thanks unto the Lord. When you're beaten up and hurting, and you can somehow muster through the tears and the emotion and the depression and start thanking God for it, we'll find that it is pleasant. And here's something else it is. The Bible says this word good means morally good. Say, I want to be a moral, upright person. It is morally good. It is a morally good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. You say, well, isn't this a Thanksgiving message? Yeah, but I don't care about the day we ate and got together and had all that food. That's not, no. I don't, look, let's just be honest with you. A lot of you rush through the Thanksgiving dinner so you can run to the stores. Not much of a Thanksgiving. We can't even take one whole day and thank God. Hey, I got women in my family. Believe me. I ain't just preaching to you. It's one characteristic, Pastor. Can change your lives. And this is it. You know, there's some things we need to give thanks for. I want to share this with you. I think we need to give thanks for things that happened. This lady, she was had a bunch of family and friends over, and while they were in the house and fellowshipping and eating and so forth, somebody was outside stealing her car. Outside stealing her car. And they asked her about it on the news, and she started thanking the Lord for it. And they said, well, why are you thanking God for it? She said, well, I forgot to put gas in it. It only went 75 feet. It ran out of gas. Hey, I'm telling you something, folks. We can thank God for what has happened. We can look, I guess, I don't think we can look on the good side of a bad thing, can we not, and thank God for it. I tell you what, we can thank God for what could not happen. I was reading a story about a concert in Chicago, and this man, it's been some time ago, was Harry Louder, and he was an older fella, and I guess coming to the end of his time, and people stood up and were clapping their hands and clapping their hands, and they said, thank you, in unison, thank you, thank you, the hundreds and maybe thousands of people, thank you, thank you, thanking him for his music and his words. And you know what he said? He said, don't thank me. Thank the God that gave me the music and the word, because without him, I could, or it would not have happened. We need to thank God for things that can't happen. I'll tell you something else I read. It was thanking God for what did happen several years ago. This has been a long time ago, actually, over in Germany. There was a lady went to her pastor and gave him roughly what we would consider now a $10 bill in American money. And he said, "Why? What is this special offering for?" She said, "Well, the last few years I've been sick, and I didn't have to pay out this year. I didn't have to pay all the money to the doctors, and I wanted to give a thanks offering to the Lord for allowing me not to be sick this year." Well, a little time went by, and the older lady came to the pastor and gave him $5 as another special offering. And he said, "Well, what is this for?" She said, "Well," she said, "we've had some bad weather, and many farms around my farm were hit and destroyed or hurt in some way. And for some reason, the Lord let the storm go right over my farm. And I just want to give this to the Lord for what didn't happen, what did not happen." Ladies and gentlemen, we do need to give thanks for what has happened. We do need to give thanks for what cannot happen. Say, well, what could that be? If you're a Christian here today, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't go to hell. You can't go to hell. So let her rip, boys. Let's give thanks. We need to thank Him for what didn't happen. Every one of us were born, and we were born into sin with no hope outside of Jesus Christ. You know what happened? What didn't happen? He didn't let us die lost. Y'all ever see the movie The Wizard of Oz? Her name escapes me. Help me. No, I know Dorothy, but Judy Garland. Last night, I was riding down the road listening to some Christmas music, and here goes Judy Garland on board. What a life. What a voice. What a wonderful, beautiful voice. Died when she was 44 years old from a drug overdose. 44 years old. I think it was 1968 when she passed. Beautiful young lady, most beautiful voice. Before she died, I heard a recording of her before she had passed, obviously. And she was miserable. And I mean horribly miserable, talking about her fans or life, using God's name in vain. Listen, this woman was lost. And as I listened to her sing this Christmas carol, I thought, Lord, this beautiful young lady that grew into a woman and could sing, unless something happened that we don't know about, Mrs. Garland is in hell. She had everything the world had to offer. She really did. But died miserable and went to hell. Why did she die and go to hell? Because at some time along the line, she refused Christ. See, I really do believe the Lord gives us a chance to be saved. This may be your chance this morning. I don't know who's lost and who's saved here. I don't know who's a Christian, who's not a Christian. But God does, and frankly, you know. you know whether you're a born-again Christian or not. Christians, I want to share this with you, and I'm done. This study that I shared with you was based on us giving gratitude and thanks, and here it is. They said that people that will take 5 minutes a day out of their time and write down everything that they give thanks for, 5 minutes, that it will transform your life, and I back that up with the Word of God. I wouldn't share this study with you if God's Word didn't confirm the study. I don't care if the study confirms God's Word. That doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't confirm God's Word. It has called up a little bit some of what God's Word tells us. But God's Word confirms this study. And I just wonder, are we thankful? How many of you would commit to 5 minutes a day writing down the things you're thankful for? Would you do that? Would you commit? Would you commit? Just, I'm committing to that. And I tell you, I hate writing. I do, but I'm going to. Usually I have Lisa write for me because my hand's writing so sloppy. But since I'm going to read it and you're not, just keep your journal. God, I thank you. I thank you. You say, Lord, I've gotten a little cold. I haven't been given this thing. I haven't grown this attribute, but I want to start growing it today. The altar's open for you. You may not know the Lord as your Savior. You know that I have spoken. God has spoken through me. And you don't know Christ. I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And you can be thankful for that, folks. Loved you enough to step out of the throne room of heaven and die on the cross for your sins. What else could we be? What else could you ask for? Somebody, you know, the horrible thing that took place in California, they read the names yesterday on Fox News. They read the names of those that died and said something nice about them. And one of the gentlemen that was killed because he threw himself over on top of another one of the ladies, and he was shot and killed instead of her. What can you say about a man that would do that for an individual? What can you say about a God that would robe himself in flesh and take on the sin, not just of one individual, but the billions upon billions upon billions of people that have been born over the ages? Are we thankful, Christians? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Let's all stand. We don't have to wait for the music to start. If God has laid something on your heart, the altar's open. You don't have to wait for the songs to start. Just get down to the altar. Say, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this, or I want to thank you for that. You may even want to say, Lord, I confess I'm not as thankful as I should be. But Lord, I want to tell you, from this day forward, I want to commit myself to be more thankful, more grateful for those things you have evidently done for me, those things that I may have overlooked, the things I haven't even thought of. Somehow, Lord, I didn't think about the fact that yesterday we were on the road for 2.5 or 3 hours and we didn't have a flat tire. Thank God for it. Thank God nobody ran you off the road. Thank God you got home safely. Last Sunday we had to rush Dad to the hospital. Thank God there were some people in the church that knew how to handle the situation. Got an ambulance from the church to the hospital, and Dad's alive. I thank God for that. But now I'm finding myself thanking God every day for one more day that God has given me with my dad alive. What are we overlooking, Christians, as we sing?
Ask me not, O gentle Savior. Hear thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While others thou art calling, do not pass.